On The Moving Icon, host Chris Vlachonasios explores the world of Eastern Orthodox Christian filmmakers and artists, as well as examines popular films through an Orthodox lens.
I've always believed the saying that truth is stranger than fiction, but after having read the McGonagall Chronicles, the Strange Land trilogy, I'm not so sure. The Chronicles are an Orthodox fantasy book series that tells the tales of the McGonagalls, a strange family with even stranger secrets, until one day, two of the children, Frederick and Colleen, embark on an adventure that will take the reader to places even more mysterious. I'm fortunate to have the author, Ben Anderson, to talk about his books and his writing influences. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to be on your show.
It's a pretty remarkable work. It's three volumes. It weighs in at a hefty 1.6 kilograms, or 3.5 pounds. So where did the story come from?
Well, my great-great-grandmother, whose name was Ellen McGonagall, was from Ireland. And she came to New York in 1850, as far as we know. And that was pretty much the last year of the Great Hunger, the potato famine in Ireland. And when my kids were little, I used to tell them bedtime stories every night. I'd just make something up. And I started to kind of weave into these stories the McGonagall family, just to make it interesting from a family history perspective. And every night I would just add to this story, and it went longer and longer, and pretty soon a year or so had passed. And finally I kind of drew the story to a close, and my wife said, you know, you really ought to write these down one day. They're really lots of fun, lots of great stories here. So I did, and now that's turned into three books so far in this McGonagall Chronicles series.
Okay, so there's a pretty strong link with your family history then. But the books also cover themes of suffering, good versus evil, and salvation. Why did you want to explore these particular topics?
Well, many authors really want to tell a story behind their story. And so there's sometimes a message that the writer wants to convey to the audience that's kind of whispered through the characters and the scenes and the plot and the symbols and so forth in the story. And how we respond to a world of suffering and evil and our enemies and so forth, to me, that has great bearing on what it means to be truly human, to really be what we ought to be as human persons. And so I really try to explore that in these tales. Now, in the mid-1840s and early 1850s, there was this terrible time in Irish history, and some estimate that something like a million people, or over a million people, died of starvation or disease, and they watched sometimes from the shores as shiploads of food were exported out of Ireland to Britain or to some other shores. And the policies of the ruling government then were, let's say, less than compassionate toward the Irish people. And many people were put out from their homes. Their lands were confiscated, the farms were given over to British landlords for cattle grazing and things like this. And there was a great deal of disrespect and general insensitivity to the plight of the Irish people, to say the least. So there was all this suffering and cruelty going on during that time. And this was something that my great-great-grandmother Ellen McGonagall experienced firsthand. She went through that. And it's really during such times of terrible loss that people experience that they can also experience a great deal of love and compassion. And it's those bonds of family and friendship that can strengthen in those hard times. And we can also see other people move to compassion when they see others suffering like this. And I wanted to write a really good, fun story with lots of action and adventure and fantasy and so forth. But beneath that story, I wanted to explore the subjects of human suffering and what our response to it ought to be. But I wanted to do it in a way that's kind of acceptable to a younger audience. So I threw my characters into this strange land, the world of the others, the land of the little people, that has such a rich tradition in Ireland. And I made it a world that was oppressed also. It was a world that was suffering by goblins and a terrible witch and so forth, these wicked creatures. And there the characters discover that really sacrifice, personal sacrifice and love for others is the foundation of what it means to be truly human. So this theme of being truly human is really explored quite extensively by the Orthodox Church Fathers, and sometimes I use their own words to drive home some points. So I'll quote St. Macarius of Egypt, for example, or St. Theophan the Recluse, some of his teachings, and some others. And these great saints of the past really gave me some great inspiration, and also Orthodox iconography as well. If you read through the stories, you might see a few icons not painted, but in the scenes of the book. So I'll let my readers just kind of explore that idea.
It sounds like you've taken a really interesting approach to expressing orthodoxy in literature. Have you been inspired by other great Christian fantasy writers?
Yes, particularly Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. I've listened to... I like to listen to books on tape, but listen many times to Tolkien's works, The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings series, and I've read The Silmarillion, and I've also read a good many of C.S. Lewis's works, both his Narnia and Out of the Silent Planet and that series, and some of his other works as well. And I've also enjoyed Stephen Lawhead's Pendragon Cycle series.
And how do you see the relationship between orthodoxy and fantasy?
That's an interesting question. It seems to me that the human heart and mind are always reaching for what's real and genuine and true. But deep inside of us, we also want something that's deep, something more than just what we see. We want life to be richer, and not just our day-to-day cycle of waking up and working and eating and sleeping, but we want more than that. We want more than just an existence. We really deeply want life to be spiritual and fantastic as well as the quote-unquote normal. And though I don't think we always know what expression that is supposed to take in our lives, and in the love for fantasy and a good story, I think I can see that yearning for life to be more than just mechanics and some random chance. We really need life to be mystical as well. And fantasy kind of reaches for that. It brings the supernatural and the speculative and the magical into the natural world, and it kind of mingles them into one organic whole. When you read these stories of Tolkien or C.S. Lewis, the natural world and the magical world, the fantastic world, are really one. There's no separation between the two. And the question of how orthodoxy fits into all that, well, first of all, it's very interesting that orthodoxy teaches the exact same thing in a way. There really, in orthodox theology, there's no separation between the natural and the supernatural worlds. God is everywhere present, and he fills all things, and it's really quite normal for the supernatural to be expressed and experienced in this life. So when I stand up on a mountaintop and I gaze across a valley and I feel the wind in my face, or I let the waves of the ocean wash against me as I sit in the sand, or lay at night on top of the Rocky Mountains and just gaze into the fathomless depths of space, or even as I venerate a miraculous myrrh-streaming icon in church, I see and experience the same thing. It's the touch and the love and the power of God in this universe. And all that just kind of washes over me every moment of life. So fantasy whispers of our deep desire for that experience, but orthodoxy actually offers it to us.
Thank you for that really beautiful explanation. But I have to ask, how did your spiritual journey and development prior to becoming Orthodox inspire your writing?
I was always interested in science fiction and fantasy and dabbled in writing even when I was a child. And my mom had saved some of my old stories, and she recently passed away, and we found some of those old stories I had written. And it was kind of interesting to see how I was a writer even in like the third, fourth grade. And through my teen years, I tried my hand at a few fantasy stories, even into my 20s. But it wasn't really until I had children that I began to think in earnest and actually wanted to complete and publish these novels. But in my pre-Orthodox years, I converted to Orthodoxy in 2000. My writing then, I really focused much more on writing music and songs. And I even played guitar and sang in a Christian band for a while, a couple years, called Manna. And songs tell stories too. And I've been writing songs since I was about 18 years old, and I have over 100 of them. And some of them are tales, they're stories, they're ballads. And those stories, they kind of express my spiritual journey over almost a 35-year period. And I've written some songs actually into the McGonagall Chronicles. I actually wove a couple of my songs into the stories. And so I have no doubt that those years of songwriting and singing and playing guitar, they have impacted my current work of writing novels and also the content within them.
And how has Orthodoxy influenced your personal writing style?
To me, Orthodoxy is like a deep ocean. There's just so much that's there. 2,000 years worth of writings and songs and hymns and chants and teachings, lives of the saints, iconography, architecture, worship, councils and traditions. And as you immerse yourself in that tradition, you really begin to see things in new ways, in orthodox ways. And I try to whisper those truths through my writings, through the plot and the lives of the characters and the scenes in the books and the symbols. And again, I try not to be preachy about it. I really believe that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And I try to do that in these stories.
You also have a blog, I believe, to accompany the series.
I do have a blog, and its address is McGonagallChronicles.wordpress.com. Now, McGonagall is spelled an interesting way. It's McGunnegall. So McGonagallChronicles.wordpress.com. And I've done various things with my blog. I've tried to explore some of the themes that are in the McGonagall Chronicles. I've written some poetry. For example, I wrote a poem about the Tolan Man. And if you've never been, if you Google Tolan, T-O-L-L-U-N-D, Tolan Man, he was a perfectly preserved bog mummy that was found in Denmark. And the face of this man so impressed me that if you just look at his face in silence and quietness for a little while, it's really speaks to you, I guess I could say. And so I wrote a poem about the Tolan Man. So it's out there on the blog. And I've also written on some of the mythical creatures, such as dwarves and goblins, and some of the weird stories that have come down to us through the ages, through history. And I always try to tie in some spiritual content along with these fascinating tales that the legends and history have given us.
Now you're also doing some talks. Can you tell us a bit more about them?
Yes. I've really just started doing some talks. I've signed up to do some talks at various conventions and also at a school. I hope to do more in the future. And I've spoken on what it's like to be an author and what my books are about. And I've tried to encourage kids to read more and to write down their own tales. Kids are amazingly creative. And in one school I went to, I asked the kids, I put some pictures up on the screen, and I asked the kids to just make up a story on the fly and give me a one-minute story. And it was amazing how well these middle school kids could just come up with something right off the cuff and tell a story. So I've had lots of fun with that sort of thing.
I'm guessing the story's not going to end there. Are you working on another series?
Yes, I'm working on book number 4. Now, book 3 completes this first trilogy. But there's an epilogue that kind of brings the reader into the next series. And I won't give it away too much, but there's lots of more that's coming in the McGonagall Chronicles series. I hope to have a number of books, and maybe as many as 8. I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm planning for about 8 books.
And where can listeners purchase a copy?
The best price online that you can get for the paperback books is actually through Transfigure Media's website. So that's www.transfiguremedia.com. And you can also get the Kindle books on Amazon. So I sell 3 individual books, and you kind of have to read them in order because it's a series. But you can also buy them as a single volume that I've entitled the Strangeland Trilogy. So if you would like to get that best price, just go out to transfiguremedia.com.
And it's also an audiobook.
Yes, all 3 books are out as audiobooks, and you can find them out on Amazon. And Janny Meisberger is my narrator, and she's really a masterful storyteller. She's done a great job really taking the series to the next level through her fantastic narration and storytelling skills. I really highly recommend them.
Ben, I wish you every success, and I can't wait to read what happens next.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
That was Ben Anderson, author of the McGonagall Chronicles, the Strangeland Trilogy. If you want to learn more about orthodoxy, media, and the arts, you can like the Moving Icon on Facebook and stay up to date with developments in the global Orthodox community. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Moving Icon with host Chris Blachonasios. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.